So we are looking at the Exodus from Egypt as a template or a model of our salvation experience. How they left Egypt is how we leave the world, how we get saved. That's what I'm going to look at in this session. Many people wonder, how do I get saved? Do I just believe on God? Am I a Christian because my father tells me I'm a Christian? Am I a Christian because I come to church? Am I a Christian because I prayed a prayer in church one time? How did I start the journey? Well, how God designed it that the Israelites left Egypt is to teach us how we leave Egypt ourselves. How did Israel begin the journey? Their exodus from Egypt. In Exodus chapter 2, verses 23 and 25. Now it came about in the course of those many days that the king of Egypt died, and the sons of Israel sighed because of their bondage. And they cried out, and their cry for help because of their bondage rose up to God. So God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And God saw the sons of Israel, and God took notice of them. Amen. Israel had been slaves in Egypt for many, many years. Why was it now that God took that their prayer came before God? To the extent that he was concerned for them and took notice of them. Why did he not take notice 40 years previously? Or even 80 years previously? 80 years previous to this, Pharaoh was having the young boys thrown into the Nile.
Well,
why didn't God deliver his people then? Why was it now that God heard their cry? Why was it now he heard their cry and moved on their behalf? Their slavery in Egypt developed over time. Maybe at the beginning they did not consider themselves to be slaves. They knew they had to work for the Egyptians, but they still felt that they were Hebrews free. And slowly over the years, their hardship increased and it became more bitter. And And over a long period of time, finally they had to get to the point to which they admitted they were slaves in Egypt. Because they felt their bondage so grievous. That they got to the point when they realized they were helpless slaves in Egypt. And out of that helpless position in their lives, they cried out to the Lord. Many alcoholics in the world today, they need to drink in the morning, they need to drink in the night time. But if you tell him, you are an alcoholic, you're dependent on drink, they'll say, no, not me. I can control everything. I'm not an alcoholic. The last thing he will do is admit he is helpless, addicted. But until he gets to the point in his life where he admits he's an addict, he admits he is a slave to the alcohol, he is not yet ready to be released from his bondage. Amen. You try and get a person off alcohol who doesn't want to get off alcohol. You're never going to achieve it. The children of Israel had to come to the point at which they stopped deceiving themselves. Pretending they were free Hebrews. They had to get to the point they realized they were helpless slaves in Egypt. And out of that feeling of helplessness, they cried out to the Lord as their only hope. Took them many, many years to get to that point. And before God ever moved on their behalf, he waited for them to learn to sigh and groan in their bondage. Until they saw him as their only hope. That was the time when he heard their cry from on high. The only prayer that comes up before God and is heard by him has to be answered is the wholehearted prayer of faith. That puts full trust in him alone. Not a half-hearted prayer that tries God but then is willing to try other things also. Until a person gets honest and wholehearted with God, they will never truly be heard on high. If someone does not realize they are a slave in Egypt, it's useless to try to get them free from their bondage to Egypt. If someone is quite happy living in Egypt, it's no point in trying to redeem them from Egypt. If a person still enjoys this world, enjoys their sin, and still thinks they're quite a good person, really, I only need to be forgiven of just something small. Maybe I'll try this faith that they talk about. Maybe I'll pray that sinner's prayer. My wife keeps pushing me. You need to become a believer. Maybe I'll get her off my back. I'll pray the prayer. I'll go to church sometimes, so she'll stop nagging me. If you don't realize you're a slave to this world and a slave to sin, you are not ready to be redeemed from Egypt. You may think you are being saved, but if you don't leave Egypt in the right way, if you don't leave the world in the right way, you can pray the sinner's prayer as many times as you like. You can be in church and be in the loudest prayer, and it will not do you any good, because you're still left in Egypt. Egypt, the Exodus starts in our hearts before we ever set foot out of Egypt. In John chapter 8, verse 34, Jesus said, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. If you sin, you are a slave to that sin. And until you get to the point where you realize you are a slave to sin, you are not yet ready to be released from the bondage to that sin. Many people are genuine seekers after God. Maybe they have an experience with God. They cry out to God and God answers them in some crisis in their life. Maybe they feel that God loves them once. They have an experience with God. But we should not think that having an experience with God means we have been saved. Amen. Until a man realizes he is a slave to sin, he is not yet ready to be properly saved. And there are many, many people in the church today who say they are saved, who say they are going to heaven, but they still have a very nice house in Egypt because they like Egypt, and they're not willing to go through the wilderness. But because they prayed a prayer, maybe because they got baptized, maybe because the pastor told them they were saved, they think they are saved. And they will have a terrible shock on the day of judgment. Because Jesus said on that day, many will come to me on that day and say, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Do many mighty miracles in your name? And he will say, depart from me, I never knew you. Wow. But you taught in our streets. We ate and drank with you. Depart from me, I never knew you. But I said the sinner's prayer. I got baptized. My pastor said, I'm going to heaven. Why am I on your left and not on your right? Because you never learned to start the journey in the right way. All these things happened as an example to us. And were written for our instruction. How they left Egypt is how we are to leave Egypt.
And
God did no work for the people until they learned to feel their slavery in Egypt. Unless a man is willing to admit he is a hopeless sinner, that he cannot save himself. I am a wicked sinner, Lord. Forgive me, Lord. Only you can forgive me. I throw myself at your mercy. Only then are you ready to leave Egypt. Only then are you ready to be saved. How did you come to the faith? Altar call? Sinner's prayer? How did you come to the faith? You see, we're all hopelessly addicted to sin. But the last thing we want to do is to admit that. I'm not really such a bad person. I'm certainly better than him over there. Let me tell you about that bad person over there. And we tell and gossip about other people's sin. Because it makes us look better. Because we love the feeling that we are better than them. Until we give up all of our self-righteousness. Till we admit we are helpless slaves in Egypt, in this world. We are not yet ready to leave this world, this Egypt. I have sat down with people in the past who came forward in response to an altar call. And I was supposed to pray with them to receive Christ. And I would often ask them, why did you come forward? Do you want to be saved? And they'll say, yes, I want to be saved. When I ask them why, they say, I just felt moved. I just felt pulled by the sermon and I felt I had to respond. But it's often just an emotional pull in their heart. I met very few people who said, I am a sinner and I need to be saved. Usually they were moved by a very charismatic speaker. And when the altar call went out, the music started playing. And they felt, oh, I should respond. But they're not responding under conviction of sin. They're responding to an emotional pull. Is such a person really getting saved? If someone has no conviction of sin in their heart, has not learned to groan in their slavery to sin, can we say such a person has been freed from their slavery to sin? No. They may have a genuine experience with God. They may hear God calling to them. And they're trying to respond to that call. But until they realize they are a hopeless sinner who needs God's grace to forgive him, he's not yet ready to be born again. Amen. There are many people in the churches today who have had an experience with God, who have been told by people that now you prayed the prayer, you are saved. If you don't feel saved, just get some scriptures and quote them to yourself to make you feel you're saved. And they get a false assurance. A deceitful experience. Which eventually leads to disillusionment. Because they have no power in their lives. Because they've not yet left Egypt. And eventually such people fall away from the church. The church is supposed to be full of sheep, but instead it's full of goats. The church is supposed to be full of wheat, instead it is full of tares. People who love Egypt, who want to keep one foot in Egypt, say, I'll try the promised land, but I'll keep one foot in Egypt. Eventually you stretch too far and you do yourself a damage. Amen. It took one night for God to get Israel out of Egypt. But it took 40 years to get Egypt out of the hearts of Israel. And the battle to get Egypt out of the hearts of Israel was a lot more difficult and dangerous for them than ever it was to physically get them out of the land of Egypt. And with most of them, Egypt never left them. Exodus 16:3. The sons of Israel said to Moses and Aaron, would that we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt, where we sat by pots of meat, where we ate bread to the full. They forgot that they had been slaves in Egypt. Now they were in the wilderness, they thought they had a good time in Egypt. God wants you to feel your slavery to such an extent that when you come to Him, you are never going to turn back. You've known what that slavery was to sin. And you are never going to set foot back in Egypt ever again. If you're just trying salvation like you try on a pair of shoes, you are not ready to leave Egypt. The word says that their bodies fell in the wilderness. God was angry with that generation because their hearts were always returning to Egypt. These things were written for our encouragement or our instruction. Amen. Amen. What is your perspective in life? Do you look forward to the promised land? Or backwards to Egypt? In Hebrews chapter 11, verses 13-16, talking about the patriarchs and Moses, the Bible says all these died in faith without receiving the promises, but they saw them and welcomed them from a distance, and they confessed they were strangers and exiles on the earth. Those who say such things make it clear they are seeking a country of their own. If they had been thinking of that country from which they went out from, they would have had an opportunity to return. If their heart had been in Egypt, if they had been thinking about Egypt, God would have given them opportunity to return to Egypt. But as it is, they desire a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for such as these. Amen.
Amen.
Too many believers today are spending their time thinking of the country they left. Their hearts and their thoughts are in Egypt. the life they left back in the world. Oh, I used to have such a good time in the world. Remember, I could drink as much alcohol as I wanted. I didn't have to worry to go with some other person's wife or husband. I could steal and didn't feel bad about it. I didn't have to act good before people. Why did I ever leave Egypt? Amen. If we spend all our time thinking of the country we left, we will not make it to the city God is preparing for those who love Him. The city God is preparing for those who will turn their backs on Egypt. Who never wish to see it again. Amen. In Jeremiah chapter 2,
Jeremiah
verses 14 and 18, God said, is Israel a slave? No, she was redeemed from the land of slavery. Is Israel a slave? But now, what are you doing on the road back to Egypt? Why are you on this road? To drink the waters of the Nile. You left Egypt many years ago. What are you doing back on the road to Egypt? There's many in the church today who are on the road to Egypt. Because their heart is still in Egypt. And if you desire to return to Egypt, if you like the lifestyle in Egypt, God will make sure you go back to Egypt. But He'll make sure your body falls in the wilderness. Because God is not preparing a city for those of whom He is ashamed. And He is ashamed of anyone who wishes to go back to Egypt, the land of slavery. We may think this is harsh, this is tough. But this is the reality of the Exodus account. If God treated ancient Israel in this way, so they would be an example to you and to I, do we think He will treat us any differently today? Does God have favorites? Does God have favorites? No. God does not have favorites. The way He treated Israel is the way He will treat us today. These things were written for our instruction. In Luke chapter 13, verses 23 to 24, someone said to Jesus, Lord, are there only a few who are going to be saved? Why would someone ask such a question like that? He would ask a question like that because it seemed from what Jesus said that that will be the truth. Are only a few people going to be saved, Lord? Because it sounds by the way you talk that that's the way it's going to be. And Jesus said to him, strive to enter through the narrow door. The word strive there means to contend and fight with every ounce of strength you have.
miro itoda ki kero ni weng pieno ka kar ini ding eto mire ye kadong foji faji wege don cheka kamano simana laja nyimmi.
Strive to enter through the narrow gate. For many, I tell you, will seek to enter it and will not be able to. That's not talking about people in the world. That's talking about people who are trying to be saved. Trying to make it into heaven. Many will try and will not be able. There are many Muslims today praying 5 times a day, making sure they do their pilgrimage to Mecca, trying to obey Allah so they can get to heaven. But if you trust in dead works, you are not going about it the right way. Many will try to enter through that door and will not be able to. There are many in the church today who try to enter through that door, but because they have not yet learned to be a slave to their sin, they're not ready to admit that they're slaves in Egypt. They try to enter that narrow gate, but they cannot. Because the only people who know the way is those who realize they're slaves in Egypt. The only people who find it the way through the narrow gate are those who admit they are helpless sinners in this world and desire God to set them free. Jesus says, I am the door. If a man enters through me, he shall be saved. But the only ones who will enter through him are those who learn to hate their life in Egypt and turn their back on it, and if such energy, strive to enter through the narrow gate. Amen. Matthew 21, verses 31 and 32. Jesus said to them, truly I say to you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are getting into the kingdom of God before you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and prostitutes did believe him. What was the way of righteousness John came in? We're talking about John the Baptist here. What was the way of righteousness he came in? Did he preach a money gospel? Did he have signs and wonders conferences? Have a big poster on the rock in the wilderness? Come to the signs and wonders conference. We have the guest speaker, John the Baptist. Get your miracle, 15,000 shillings. Was that the way of righteousness John came in? Is that how he preached? He said, who you warned you to flee the coming wrath? That's not a way to attract people, is it? We like to be nice to people today. Oh, you wonderful man, come to my church. Treat, here's a nice seat for you. He looks like he's got money. I get him in my church. Amen.
Amen.
John the Baptist didn't preach that way. He said, produce fruit in keeping with repentance. Do not even begin to say yourself, we are children of Abraham. Don't put false assurance into false gospels. He preached in a way that convicted people of their sin. And because the tax collectors and prostitutes knew they were sinners, they knew they were helpless slaves in Egypt. They acknowledged and confessed their sins because they were ready to leave Egypt. The problem with most of us today is we think we're quite good, actually. We're only a little bit bad. Until we realize we are hopeless sinners, you're not yet ready to leave Egypt. The tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you. Because they knew that they were sinners. And they were ready to repent and forsake their sin. Amen.
Amen.
Have you ever felt the condemnation of sin in your life? So that you cry out to God for His mercy with a full heart. The preaching of the gospel must be preaching against sin. And then the gospel, the good news, as the cure or medicine for that ailment. You need both aspects of the gospel. If you just preach nice, ear-tickling messages, you are not preaching the gospel. You're preaching half of the gospel. Amen. If people only ever hear the good news, they will never realize they are a slave in Egypt. So they will never respond to the gospel in the correct way. There are many people today who have responded to an easy gospel. And they have a false assurance in their heart. They've never actually left Egypt. On the other hand, if you only ever hear the bad news, if you only ever hear yourself that you're a sinner, you will only ever see yourself as a slave in Egypt, not as God's freed son or daughter. We must preach the whole gospel. The bad news and the good news. Amen.
Amen.
A man understands the good news by first receiving the bad news. You will never understand the good news properly unless you have learned to be a sinner first. Amen. So the Israelites needed to learn to groan in their slavery. But God also commanded them to keep a feast as they left Egypt. What was the feast they were supposed to keep as they went out of Egypt? What do you think? Amen.
Yes.
They were to keep the Passover as they left Egypt. The Passover is all about how we leave Egypt. God designed the Passover in order to show us how we are to leave this world. How we are to be saved. The Passover is called the Feast of Unleavened Bread. It's all about how we start the journey out of Egypt. Exodus chapter 12, verses 17 to 19. You shall observe the Feast of Unleavened Bread. For on this very day I brought your hosts out of Egypt. Therefore you shall observe this day throughout your generations. As a permanent ordinance. 7 days there shall be no leaven found in your homes. Whomever eats what is leavened, that person shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel. Whether he is alien or a native of the land. The Feast of Unleavened Bread is a type of how someone is to get saved in the proper manner. Some people may say, we're not supposed to keep the Mosaic law anymore. We've been freed from the law. That's true. We are not to keep the letter of the law. We are no longer under the authority of the letter of the law. But we are to keep to the spirit of the law. And we are to keep the festivals of Israel. Not according to the letter of the law as they were understood in the Old Testament, but in the way they were always meant to be kept by God. Spiritually speaking, as they were fulfilled in Christ. God does not expect you to look for a lamb, get a knife and to kill that lamb. Get the hyssop branch and put the blood of that lamb on the lintels and doorposts. We don't keep the Passover in this way. Because Jesus was our Passover lamb. The whole festival is fulfilled in Him. Now we keep it in the spiritual way. As it is fulfilled in Christ. Let me read in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 6 to 12. The Apostle Paul says, do you not know? A little leaven leavens the whole lump. The church is pictured as the lump of bread which is unleavened. He says, clean out the old leaven so that you may be the new lump. Just as you are unleavened. For Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed. Christ, who is our Passover, has been sacrificed. Christ is our Passover feast. It is all fulfilled in Him. Therefore, let us celebrate the feast. Let us, New Testament Christians, celebrate the feast. Not in the old way. Not with the old leaven. Our old sinful fleshy lives. Not with the leaven of malice and wickedness. But with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. If we are unleavened bread, we must live unleavened lives without the leaven of malice and wickedness. We must remove the leaven from our lives. I wrote you in my letter not to associate with immoral people. He is picturing immoral people like leaven in the church. The church is supposed to be unleavened bread. But the enemy keeps seeking to put leaven in the bread. Immoral people in the church are leavened, leaven within the bread. Do not associate with immoral people. I'm not talking about the people of this world with which you have to coexist. But I'm talking about any so-called brother if he is immoral. Or is greedy or is an idolater. A reviler or a drunkard or a swindler. Not even to eat with such a one. Remove the wicked man from amongst yourselves. There are many greedy people in the church today. They preach what is called the prosperity gospel. It is a gospel of greed. It facilitates greedy lifestyles. If I give money, I can get more money from God and I can be blessed. So the object of our faith is not to be conformed to the image of Christ. The object of our faith is to get more and more money and be more blessed. This is a gospel of covetousness. That is leaven in the church. Amen. Amen. There are many swindlers in the body of Christ today. Amen. If you give me 50,000 shillings, I'll give you my hanky I prayed over. If you take this hanky and put it on your sick child, you'll get your miracle. Is this what God commands us to do? God only gives by grace and grace alone. You cannot pay for the gifts of God. What are these people doing? They are trying to swindle God's people, making money on people's misfortune. Such people are leaven in the church. But such a person as this do not even eat. And certainly do not invite them into your church. Because if you invite a person like this in your church, you are feeding your congregation leavened bread. Amen. Remove the leaven. Paul says that Christ is our Passover lamb. He is the feast we are supposed to keep. Not in the old way of the letter of the law, but in the new way of the Spirit, how it is fulfilled in Christ. Every Passover lamb that was ever killed was a sign and a pointer towards Christ, the true Passover lamb. The Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Amen.
Amen.
Once Jesus, our Passover lamb, died, there was no longer any need to kill a Passover lamb. Now we just need to learn to feed upon his flesh. Receive his life within us by faith. Amen. All the leaven that was ever removed from people's households was also just a physical sign pointing us towards the sin Christ wishes us to remove from our lives. God is not interested in physical leaven. He only created physical leaven in order to teach us about the spiritual leaven we need to remove from our lives. Specifically, the leaven of pride and false teaching. Jesus said, guard against the leaven of the Pharisees and the Herodians. Because they taught as doctrines the commandments of men. There are many pastors today in churches who are teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. And if you feed upon what they teach you, you are eating leavened bread. We are to remove the leaven. Remove the old sinful leaven of our old lives. Remove the leaven, then celebrate the feast. With the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Amen.
Amen.
We were commanded to observe this this day throughout the generations as a permanent ordinance. Permanent means permanent. And if we are in Christ, we are of Israel. He who is circumcised in the heart is a true Jew. It is a permanent ordinance. Just now we keep it in the new way of the Spirit, not in the old way of the written law. The Passover is all about removing the leaven from your household and feasting upon the Passover lamb. This represents repenting from our sins. Removing the leaven is repenting of our sins. And feeding on the Passover lamb is putting faith into Christ. Today people say, pray this prayer and you'll be saved. Dear Jesus, thank you for dying for me. Forgive me of my sins. Make me new. I believe in you. Thank you, I'm now going to heaven. But what is missing in that prayer? What is missing?
So I've not put the name, don't put my name in the book of life, it's missing. That's what he's saying.
Okay, that's not what I was thinking.
Not repented from the sin.
Amen. Without repentance, there is no salvation. You can say you believe in God as much as you like. The Bible says the demons believe in God. And they shudder. Without repentance, there is no salvation. Without removing the leaven, which is true repentance, there is no salvation. 7 days no leaven shall be found in your homes. In Hebrews chapter 6 verses 1 and 2, it gives us the six foundations of the faith. The foundational doctrines of our Christian faith. The very first doctrine is repentance from dead works. The second one is faith towards God. You cannot have faith towards God unless you have first learned to have repentance from dead works. Unless you have remove the leaven, you can never feed on the Passover lamb. You cannot have a genuine, real faith in Jesus Christ. Repentance is not just saying sorry. Oh God, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry, my wife is mad at me now. I'm so sorry I got beaten when I stole that chicken. Oh, I'm so sorry. Why am I sorry? Because I got caught. Am I really sorry for what I did? No, I'm sorry because I was caught. Worldly sorrow leads to nothing. But godly sorrow leads to repentance. Do you have godly sorrow over your sin? That you don't grieve because you are caught. But you grieve because you realize you have offended the Most High. And your sins become between you and God. You grieve about that sin to such an extent that you wish to put the sin away from yourself. Repentance is all about turning the opposite direction and going in the opposite way. He who steals must steal no longer, but go in the opposite direction, and instead do something useful with his hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. Instead of taking things from people, we now work to give things to people. That's repentance. That's going in the opposite direction. To repent properly is to remove the leaven from your life. Remove it from your households. And until a person is willing to remove the leaven, he is not yet ready to leave Egypt. Because he is not keeping the feast in the new way. Amen.
Amen.
Jesus is looking for overcomers. People who overcome sin, the flesh, and the devil. You are not just saved to get a ticket to go to heaven. Oh, I've got my ticket, now I can do whatever I like. We are saved from, not only from hell, but from sin, the flesh, and the devil. Many people today want to be saved from hell. But they don't want to be saved from their sin. Because they like their sin. They don't like hell. But they like their sin. Unless you get saved from sin and the flesh and the devil, you will never be saved from hell either. Jesus is looking for overcomers. He who overcomes, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life. What if you don't overcome? What if you stick yourself in Egypt and enjoy it there? Will God give you the right to eat from the tree of life? No. To him who overcomes, I will give the right to sit on my throne. Only to those who overcome. Amen. Jesus said, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. You are not being saved to just get a ticket to go to heaven. You You are being saved to be made perfect in Christ, which is a process the Holy Spirit will begin to do in your life, to conform you into the image of Christ, to become complete in Christ. We may not attain to physical perfection whilst on this earth, but the Bible says to aim for perfection and achieve a measure of success against sin in your life. This is the way of faith in Christ. You cannot walk with any other attitude of heart. If you are not willing to remove the leaven, you do not start the journey right. You will never make it to the promised land. The Apostle Paul said, I have not yet taken a hold of the things which Christ Jesus took hold of me. I have not yet been made perfect. But one thing I do. Forgetting the things which are behind. Forgetting about Egypt. I strain to look forward towards the promised land. I reach forward. I strain to go forward. To achieve the high call of God in Christ Jesus. I have not yet attained to it. But I strain to reach forward. To reach the mark of the high calling of God in Christ. Everyone who is mature should have such a view of things. Is that your view this morning? Are you looking towards the promised land? Are you looking towards the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus? Or is your heart still in Egypt? God says, 7 days no leaven shall be found in your homes. Whoever eats what is leavened shall be cut off from the congregation. Spiritually speaking, we could read the text in this way. During the seven dispensations or ages of the church, during your sojourn in this world, there should be no leaven in the church, the household of faith. No sin, no pride, no false teaching. If anyone does eat that which is spiritually leavened, or have leaven in their homes, that means we feed on a false gospel or we live in sin, such a person shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, because they deny the faith they say they have. You see, faith in the Greek is also translated faithfulness. The Bible says you are saved by grace through faith. In the original language, it says you are saved by grace through faith or faithfulness. Many people today see faith as a sense of believing in God. But faith is not just believing in God. It's believing Him to such an extent that we are faithful to Him. And we walk with him wherever he takes us. Amen. The Bible says if we say we are without sin, we are a liar. And the truth is not in us. God knows that we are frail. He knows we fall in sin. But what do we do when we fall in sin? When we sin, we get up, we repent, and we keep going. It's like a little baby that stumbles when it falls. We're walking by faith and then we stumble. What do you do when you stumble? What do the parents do? Pick up the baby and keep walking. Because we're learning to walk by faith. We stumble into sin. Do we just stay there saying, oh, it's too hard. It's too difficult, I can't do this Christian life. Or do we get up? Lord, I am a sinner. I repent. Forgive me. Help me put that leaven out of my household. Let me keep walking with you. And keep walking by faith. But if we say, I am a sinner and I love to sin, and we hide our sin, the Bible says we are walking in willful sin. And if we walk in willful sin, and we don't repent, and we continue to walk in that sin, the Bible says no sacrifice for sins is left. Because we're not willing to remove the leaven from our lives. If we think it is okay to walk in willful sin, and think we'll still get to heaven at the end, we are badly deceived. We have eaten leavened bread. We have accepted a false version of the gospel. Which says it's okay, God's so loving, he's just going to look the other way. That's leavened bread. God is in no rush to judge anybody. He says he prefers mercy to judgment. But if a man keeps ignoring God, keeps closing his ears to God, not listening to the voice of his conscience, the Bible says God is not mocked either. And if we insult the Spirit of grace, despise the riches of his grace, God will not overlook it. And there will be consequences for just such a lifestyle. We leave Egypt by removing the leaven and feeding on the Passover lamb, putting our full trust in Jesus Christ as our salvation. Allah cannot save me. My pastor cannot save me. My bishop cannot save me. Only Jesus Christ can save me. Am I feeding on the Passover lamb? Am I putting my faith in him or into a man? Amen. The Passover meal had to be eaten in this manner. It had to be eaten hurriedly or in haste. With the people ready to flee Egypt at a moment's notice. In Exodus chapter 12, verse 11. Now you shall eat the Passover in this manner. With your loins girded. Your sandals on your feet. Your staff in your hand. Ready to go at a moment's notice. You shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. Amen. When you came to Christ, was there any sense in you of fleeing Egypt? Getting ready to leave this world in haste. Many people just want to wander out of Egypt. Oh, I like Egypt. Do I really want to go to the Promised Land? Let's see how I get on the first day. Maybe I'll give it a week. How did you leave Egypt? Many people wander out of Egypt. They think, let me try this Christian walk. I'll give God a go. Bit like I try a pair of shoes. Do the shoes make me look good? Do they make me feel comfortable? Let me try God out the same way I'd try out a pair of shoes. If he makes me feel good, then I'll keep walking with him. Jesus doesn't want us to wander from Egypt. He wants us to flee Egypt. And take hold of Christ and never look back. Too much evangelism today is getting people to try God out. Come to Jesus, he'll give you a great life. He'll make you a prosperous man. There are many blessings for those who follow Jesus. Try Jesus out. Jesus doesn't say, try me out. Jesus is not interested in making you feel good. He only wants people to come to him who will die to their old life, who are prepared to remove the old leaven and flee Egypt when the trumpet sounds. Have you got to that point of desperation in your life? When you want to leave this world behind because you are disgusted by it. I want nothing to do with my old life. I am taking hold of Christ and never looking back. He who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is not fit for service in the kingdom of heaven. In Hebrews chapter 6 verse 18, The writer talks about those who have fled for refuge. To lay hold of the hope set before us. Have you fled Egypt? Have you fled Egypt to the extent that you lay hold of Christ, the hope which is before us? In Numbers chapter 33 and verse 3, it says that the morning after the Passover, the children of Israel went out with boldness in the sight of all Egypt. They didn't just wander from Egypt. They purposely went out with boldness. How did you leave Egypt behind? In a way that you will never return. Decisively and with purpose in our hearts. This is how a person truly gets born again. Are we sitting in Egypt groaning? Complaining why God doesn't deliver us. We need to get up and take a hold of Christ, our Passover lamb. Take a hold of him and feed upon him. In John chapter 6, verses 51 and 54, Jesus said, I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. The bread which also I give for the life of the world is my flesh. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. Is Jesus standing in front of us today? Can we feed on him? No. We feed on him by faith. And by receiving his living words into us. By feeding on the word of God. Because Jesus is the word of God. And if you feed on his word, you are feeding upon the Passover lamb. He who feeds on me has eternal life. And I will raise him up on the last day. Amen. Once we repent properly, we remove the leaven, we are ready to feed on Christ our Passover lamb properly too. The Israelites started the journey with full bellies. A belly full of Passover lamb, bitter herbs and unleavened bread. So we also begin the journey in the same way. By feeding upon the crucified Christ. Receiving the crucified Savior into our inmost being by faith. Being spiritually nourished for the great Exodus journey ahead. Repentance and faith working together to produce a full deliverance from Egypt, from this world. Starting the journey in the right manner. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24, the Apostle Paul says, do you not know that those who run in a they race. They all run, but one receives the prize. Run in such a way to win. If you get disqualified for a false start, you are not running the race in a way to win. The Apostle Paul says, run in such a way that you may win. Leave Egypt properly. Remove the leaven. Repent of all sin. And live for Christ. Feed on the Passover lamb. Live unleavened lives. And strike out boldly from the land of Egypt. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
Father God, we praise.